G'day lads, Jacob from the Tripod here. Thanks for tuning in again. Sorry we're slightly late off the mark. We always aim to start at 7 p.m. every Wednesday night. Break down the entire NRL game or NRL round, every game all season. So we're into already round 23. Spoke about last week, like it's absolutely the business end of the season right now. We've got, you know, just 3 regular season rounds left. And what looked to be a really predictable kind of top 8, the way that it was falling into place, is now anything but, with 10 sides still jockeying and top 8 and top 4 completely up for grabs. And when there is a bit of mayhem going on, we can try and use that to the punter's advantage, and we can find value. And look, lads, I'll be totally honest with you, like running a little bit late, as we all know. Alex is overseas, still in Thailand. Shout out to Alex. Do miss him a little bit, because it does help to have a second mind to kind of bounce ideas off of and find out which sides we really like. These are my initial thoughts from a punting perspective, breaking down all 8 games this round. And I do see a bit of value there. Maybe not as much value as I like. It's a really strange round, this round 24 that we have. Heaps of double-digit favourites, which if you'd followed the pod for the last 2 years where we've given out tips and won more than 60% of the time, this season closer to 70%, you'll know that we really don't like games where you've got a double-digit spread, and we rarely will lay the points or lay anything. So that's going to be a tricky one for us to navigate. So we do miss you, Bo, but I'm going to do my best. I've actually been at Dreamworld today, so I've been kind of out of action. I've got hundreds of unread messages on my phone because our group got disabled yet again. So our current group is YTP3.0, and you can actually hit the link in this and get in that group. Now obviously Facebook's absolutely just ramming us up the dutzer, and it's hard to deal with, and we are every day trying to come up with new solutions for how we can keep getting content to you guys. For now we have that group, so there's going to be information there. We've got an original group called Yeah the Pod that is basically condemned, but you can still always go there to find out where the latest group is. And failing that, you can always go on our website, www.tripodbetting.com, where our latest tips and information will be. And so I'm a bit worn out, and obviously with the group getting disabled today, it's a bit stressful, and I'm a bit woozy from all the roller coasters, to be honest with you. But at least someone's actually having their dreams made on the Gold Coast, unlike Jared Hayne. So before I get into round 23, I thought I will try and lift my own mood, and let's just talk a little bit about the 100-to-1 multi that we cashed last weekend. I know a bunch of the boys were on it. Look, at the end of the day, this is why we have a punt, so we can celebrate moments like that. So we should, you know, sit back and pat ourselves on the back and be really happy with that one. We don't just give out 100-to-1 multis every week. It was really just a spur-of-the-moment thing where I did see some serious value on the boards, and I saw an opportunity on William Hill where you could multi results from round 22 with results from round 23, and they were definitely correlated. And if we go through that multi, it started with the Knights to beat the Warriors by 11 to 20 points. Now, if you're going to win a 100-to-1 multi, you are going to need some luck to go your way. I mean, the Knights win that one by 16, which beautifully falls in that range. But, you know, one more late try by the Knights. Hodkinson's a deadeye. They could have won by 22. The Warriors, in fact, also had a late chance to score in that one. So we were right where we needed to be. And if you look back right now, the Knights probably should never have been underdogs in that game. And to get them at $7 to win by double digits up to 20 points was a great value. And then the next leg in that multi was the Broncos to beat the Titans by just 5 points or more. I mean, like, what a difference a couple weeks makes. That, you know, you look back now, the bookmakers would have set that line at 20. But it was only 4.5, and it was really easy, and they won 54-0. So that's beautiful. As punters, we like to see that. Next tip was the Raiders to beat the Sharks by 6 points or more. Now, 2 weeks ago, everyone had written off the Raiders. The Sharks are still the defending champs. Sharks get out to an 8-0 lead. A lot of people already gave up and thought that the Raiders, you know, had no business in that game. Of course, they end up running out by 18 points, so that was awesome as well. And the cherry on top to get our multi to nearly 100-to-1 was to take the Raiders last week to beat the Warriors by 2 points or more, so laying 1.5, minus 1.5. And I mean, the beauty of that, people that follow the lines and understand how this all works, I mean, if the Raiders were going to beat the Sharks and keep their season alive, and if the Warriors couldn't even beat the Cellar Dweller Knights, there's no way that game was going to be anything close to pick 'em in round 23. The line closed at 12 in places, and we had the Raiders minus just 1.5. So, you know, you're almost home, but you're not quite home. Anything can happen in the NRL. We looked long and hard. We waited and waited and waited for the best possible Warriors price to play it back, and then said, no, you know what? This Raiders team is just on a mission. They absolutely need the game. They're far too good. The Warriors are dead in the water. Let's let that thing ride. Didn't give anything back to the bookies, and we get another almost sweat-free win. Obviously, they won by about 20-odd points again. That was just beautiful to see because we're all used to getting crushed on the last leg, and me, more than anyone, seem to always lose my multis on the last leg. But to get home easy, I mean, I think I did curse Blake Austin's ancestors when he dropped the ball at 12-0. They could have got up 18-0 right then and there. Instead, they let the Warriors right back and scored a 12-6. And, you know, of course, it was a sideline conversion. I'm starting to think, don't fucking do me like this, Warriors. But no, we got home very easy. So cheers to all the lads, or congratulations to the guys that got on it. And it just goes to show, you know, you don't want to just go out there willy-nilly playing 100-1 multis. But if you find value in every single leg, because you essentially are rolling winnings over, it is your cash that's rolling into the next bet, and it does become a big amount of money. You want to feel confident in the players that are in that multi. You know, I'll just make one more point before I get into this round. People talk about throwing in a short favourite into their multi to add value, and I've never really understood what that means. It increases the odds of your multi. It doesn't add value if that favourite on its own isn't value. And at that 100-1 multi, for example, I actually had over $200 in bonus bets on that multi. So as a couple of the boys are commenting, that's that paid out over 20 grand, which is just beautiful. I could have thrown in, you know, maybe the Eels or something into that against the Knights for a bit more $1.15 value into that. But do I want 20 grand on the Eels at $1.15? I don't want any part of that. This is the NRL. It's the closest competition on earth. On that note, let's get into this round with the Eels against the Titans. And as I said, a lot of double-digit favourites this week. Just let me start by issuing some caution. Do not assume that the favourites will all win and cover. Let's go back to last week. You know, we have the Rabbitohs favourites against the Bulldogs. I said that line probably was a little too high. Didn't take the Bulldogs because we just didn't know what they were going to serve up for us. And, you know, surprise, surprise, it was another shit performance, and the Rabbitohs rolled by 2 or 3 tries. And you know, you probably look at that game on Thursday night last week and say, I should have just taken Rabbitohs minus 4.5, would have been an easy win. Very next game of the round is the Eels. Eels minus 13.5 looked like, you know, just about jammed. The way that the Eels have been playing for a top 4 position. If you bet the Eels minus 13.5 against the Knights, you never stood a chance to win that bet. The Knights are a side that absolutely is giving max effort every week and now playing with confidence. And I mean, it just goes to show you how much effort comes into this. And people think that every team gives effort every week, but if you watch closely, it's really not the case. And the Knights roster is no better than any other roster in the NRL, but they're playing better footy because they're dead set actually putting in for 80 every week. And we will get to that Knights game. So do we want to lay 12.5 with the Eels? Look, I tell you what, the Eels will beat the Titans. They're too good for them. If you haven't heard, Jarryd Hayne won't play in this one. So the circus continues. Now, you might think that the Titans will be improved with Hayne out because he's been a prima donna and he's definitely like one of the most overpaid players in the NRL this season. He's only had about 2 or 3 good games for the Titans this year. Coincidentally coincided with when the Origin team was getting picked. You do wonder if he really does play for his teammates. But look, at the end of the day, this Titans team is just so skinny on outside backs. There just isn't talent. There isn't really match-winning players out there. And I think they really miss Connie Hurrell of all players just for the heart and the, you know, the X factor that he brought to that side. And they will miss Hayne. I just don't know how the Titans can score in this game. And that is leaning me towards my first probable best bet of the week. And that's to take the first half under 20.5 points. I think after the Titans gave up 54-0 to the Broncos, after they gave up another 36 to 40 points against the Dragons, I think they have to come out and try and defend. It's the last time the Titans will play on Channel 9 this year. Maybe it means something. At first, I think they try and get themselves into the game. The Eels, having lost, as we know, 19 points by 19 to the Knights, I think they come out and just try and control the game. They know their class will run over the top in the end, but under 20.5 for the first half total, I like that. And I do think the Eels are just going to be too good for the Titans, but I can't quite play the minus 12.5. But don't want any part of the points with the Titans because they're just an absolute mess. Dog's breakfast. Speaking of a dog's breakfast, let's not talk too long about the early Friday game, Rabbitohs versus New Zealand. I mean, how are you supposed to really know what's going to happen there? I will say, New Zealand, everyone will be ready to heap shit on New Zealand, and they have been awful, and that's why we didn't take them last week, even to hedge our multi. Nobody would have really beaten the Raiders last week. I really do think the Raiders were really, really exceptional last Sunday. Just came there with a mission. In wet conditions, were able to get the ball to the backs, were able to actually complete sets, were just very rock solid in defence and held up their line when they were under siege. And I don't want to take too much away from New Zealand, but losing Ben Matalino, just news recently that Nathaniel Roach has got injured in training. That side's fucked, and there's also some news that maybe Sean Johnson can play again this season. So, you know, if you're out there waiting for the pod to bet on the Warriors again and saying, please give us another Warriors bet, maybe we will, but probably not this week. Maybe a home game, I'd have to look at the roster, the schedule again. Maybe they got a home game and Sean Johnson comes back and they just give their crowd something back. But away from home, I'm not going to take New Zealand, especially when you've got Isaac Luke kicking goals potentially versus Adam Reynolds as well. So even if they are within a couple tries, they still might lose by more than 10. So yeah, don't have a play on that one. I mean, you'd trend to the over because you think maybe the Warriors will throw it around. The Rabbitohs are actually playing hard. Angus Crichton with the foot injury, Burgess with the ribs injury, they're still playing and they're playing for each other. But the total is already so high at 44.5. We don't really want to play over a really high total. Let's move on. Here's a game I do really love. Broncos, one of the sides that we did not win betting in that game last week. We took the Sharks plus 6.5. It was a great line at the time. Closes closer to 4. But they were way too good for the Sharkies and beat them by 20 points. And we're going to wear that one. And there's plenty of heroes that come out into the forum and love to tell us that it was a bad bet when a favourite does win easily. And we often do take on favourites. And that's going to happen. I mean, we still are losing at 30% this season. So we're certainly not unbeatable, and the bookies, you know, keep building casinos in Vegas for a reason, and we certainly didn't win that one. But I actually do think we've got to take on the Broncos again. I think St. George, pretty good last week, even though it was against the piss poor Titans. I think they're completely healthy now, although Dugan will probably get injured in the first 10 minutes. But I think that forward pack absolutely can hang with Brisbane, if not play better than them. It's just so meaningful for St. George, because if they are to lose this game, the Raiders could actually jump them this week and they could actually be down to 10th. And even though they've got that Penrith game next week, which they might be looking ahead to, they'd have to catch the Raiders as well. So they really, their season's kind of in the balance right now. I think they give a max effort, because if they can't come up and compete against the Broncos, at the end of the day, what's the point of sneaking into the top 8 if you can't hang with finals teams? So I really like St. George. I think they got ambushed by the Bunnies when everyone thought the Bunnies had given up, and they got ambushed by the Knights. But they actually are still, you know, a half-decent side, the Dragons, and they know how to defend. So also like unders in that game. So definitely some value there with the Dragons. As much as people don't want to take on the Broncos at Suncorp, and everyone's kind of forgotten that they lost Andrew McCulloch, like it doesn't matter now because of how well Ben Hunt's playing, but there will be a game where people go, oh shit, do we miss McCulloch and his 60 tackles a game? And as well as the Broncos are playing, taking nothing away from them, this is a bet about the Dragons just getting too many points when it's a double digit plus 10. So that's the only way we can look. I will say on that note that I will now, or after this pod, I go through every single bookie that we trust, I check every single market, and then I kind of clarify the best bets, and then I'll post them in the group. So this is the initial thoughts, which way we're leaning, and then we kind of finalize it and post it out, and as well as on our website. Email it out to you. There's a free email list you can join on the website too. But get in the group to get all the best bets and multis as well. Another one that I do like, we got Roosters versus West Tigers. Now, West Tigers pulled people's pants down, pulled Manly's pants down. I mean, I really don't know how they end up winning that game from down 20-6 and how much that meant to Manly. I mean, Manly absolutely went to sleep second half. That's all you can say. West's a very unpredictable side. Definitely not going to take anything away from the Roosters losing to the Storm. I thought they were really exceptional, and I think Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend both better for the run last week. And I think that they will just really run rampant over the West Tigers in this one. Minus 12.5, don't really want to lay that number of points, but I think West like to throw the ball around. Flash Gordon back in the team, it does just bolster the back line slightly more for Roosters. getting closer to full health, the Roosters now, and I like them to go over 4.5 tries. I think I can't trust goal kicking with either Latrell Mitchell or Takiaho kicking goals, but I can trust them to score points, and yeah, I think they're definitely good for 5 tries or more in this game, and you know they could definitely get a couple late. I think they know they have to win this one. They've actually fallen out of the top 2, and if they don't win this one, they'll fall out of the top 4 soon, and this side absolutely can win the comp, so that's the way I'm looking in that one. Roosters over 4.5 tries. You don't know what you're going to get out of West, but you're definitely not going to get 80 minutes of defence out of that side, so that's a pretty good way to look. Someone's made the point that if Flash Gordon's back, he can kick. Yes and no, actually. He's kind of had the yips this season with his goal kicking. So with the team total for the Roosters sitting around 27-28, my thinking is for them to get that many points or get over 27.5, let's say, they're going to need 5 tries because I don't see them getting 4 tries and 2 penalties. So that's my thinking, though. I like this game over. I like the Roosters to win comfortably, and I see 5 tries in this team at least. So that's probably the smartest way to go about betting on that one. The smartest way to go about betting on the Saturday night blockbuster North Queensland versus Sharks was to be in our group and get on the early best bet, which was Sharkies minus 1.5 points. Now, that obviously wasn't really based much on what the Sharks did last week. It was based on the fact that the North Queensland side took another massive couple of blows in losing Justin O'Neill, who I really don't think is very good, but he still is a stalwart of that team who's played like origin level footy. They've lost him in the centres, and Michael Morgan, I believe, is going to play, but has to go undertake a concussion assessment to see if he can play. And I mean, if he doesn't play, the Cowboys will not be able to win this game. Even if he does, I just think the champs. I think Sharkies, nothing seemed to go their way, and Brisbane was just red hot last Friday night. I'm not going to take a huge amount away from the Sharks. They did make a lot of errors and led in a couple of embarrassing tries, but I just think there was a couple even bounces of the ball where they got opportunities and it just didn't click for them. And I think that it wasn't their night last Friday, but I think the Sharks, still quite a healthy squad that they've got there, still with hope of going back-to-back. It's all about this game for them, and I think that it's just a healthier side right now, and at this end of the season, that makes all the difference, and the Sharks are going to win this one by a converted try. I think big difference as well with goal kicking. Now they've got Maloney back, who was absolutely putrid against the Broncos, another guy who'll be way better for the run next week, and yeah, I mean, a goal kicking duel between Maloney and Ethan Lowe alone is going to be worth that too. That's going to cover the minus 1.5 for us, but I mean, I still like the Sharkies even at minus 4, to tell you the truth. And I think it's another game that's going to go under because the Cowboys definitely showing up in defence still, but I just don't see how they can score, you know, 3 or more tries against the Sharks. And even if they get 3, the Cowboys total sitting at around 17.5, I don't see Ethan Lowe converting 3 conversions. So I do like the Cowboys under the points total in that one. We got another ripping game on the Sunday, Arvo, and you know, these two teams have some exciting backline players, and it's, you know, going to be hopefully like sunny Sunday afternoon game where we do tend to see a lot of points. But with so much at stake in this Raiders-Panthers game where we've got the Panthers minus 4.5 and a total sitting at 43.5, you actually have to look at the unders when there's so much at stake. The Raiders actually, the hallmark of the way they've been playing in the last kind of month and a half of footy has been their defence, actually showing up in defence. And Ricky Stewart says every week that for this side to really to win games, they just got to complete sets. And that's him kind of saying they actually need to be more conservative and not trying to score off every set. And that's actually going to help lead maybe to an under. And then for the Panthers, you know, Nathan Cleary is just playing out of his mind. And that's helping this team, and that's bringing confidence to the rest of the side. Even a chance that Trent Merrin could play, which sounds kind of crazy, but that actually is meaningful for this Panthers side. They have missed Trent Merrin a bit. Look, in terms of the points spread there, the Raiders are just playing such good footy. They're at home. I think they are the better team here, and I could only actually lean towards taking the Raiders. But the Panthers are a solid outfit as well. And they just need the game desperately as well, you know, and I just expect a finals start atmosphere, really. And these two teams met in the finals last year. It was elimination and it was in Canberra, and the Raiders got up, and I think we took the Raiders and we got the Raiders at about pick 'em, but you know, here we are with, you know, very similar sides playing each other again, huge stakes again, but the line's at 4.5. So that might be just too many points for us to lay against the Panthers side that still has a lot of talented players. But I do actually really love the under in that game. And I see that under moving towards 44. And we may need to snap that up just because neither side's going to let in a soft try in this one. I think it's just too important towards for both sides, really. And then round out the round with a game that maybe isn't important to both sides. I mean, once again, it's just a really hard game to handicap. We've got the Bulldogs, and we just don't know what they're going to throw up. I mean, I look at that side. It's still on paper. Should be a good forward pack. I mean, are guys like Clemmer and Josh Jackson even considering trying to put their hand up to play test footy? You know, I really don't know. I scratch my head with the Bulldogs. They just show nothing week in, week out in attack. I don't know what they do at training every week. And now they've lost Josh Reynolds, who's a guy who actually you think might be able to create something once or twice a game in attack. So with Frawley and Stanley in the halves, it's just ugly. I don't really know what's going to happen there. You love playing unders in Bulldogs games because actually, surprisingly, they can defend. And Manly can defend too. And Manly has got to be just absolutely smarting to lose the second half to the Tigers 24-6. So, you know, that under 40.5 really popped out at me. But then it just wouldn't surprise me for Dez to just say, we need to give the fans something back for turning up today. And for the Bulldogs to just throw it around and get it to their backline players. And, you know, against Manly, Bulldogs actually aren't going to be outclassed in the backline because Manly's, you know, outside backs aren't the strongest apart from, you know, Tommy Trbojevic. And I guess speaking of, you know, exciting outside backs, interesting stat I saw this week is that Hopewadi hasn't scored a try this season. That's the fullback of a side that, you know, considered itself to be a top eight side and was in the top eight for the first few weeks of the season. I think that really says it all in terms of just how piss poor and how putrid the Bulldogs' attack is. I think Dez has to go. And, yeah, it's just such a hard team to handicap. So, yeah, unders would be the way to go based on prior form, but it just wouldn't surprise me if the Bulldogs just open it up in that one. So it's one of those games where maybe you actually, if you think the Bulldogs have a chance, just get on them at like $4 to win, because if they turn up and they fight and they make it close, you've got $4 odds on a team that's going to have a chance to win this game. If they don't turn up and they just mail it in again, they'll lose by double digits and, you know, there's no use having plus 10.5 or whatever. So, and I feel a little bit about that with like a team like New Zealand or the Bulldogs or, you know, any of these sides that don't have a lot to play for, like West Tigers last week, like the Knights last week, you know, back them to win. And if they don't win, it could get ugly. So, you know, sometimes you're better off actually just taking the longer odds. It's all about finding value after all. We've found plenty this season, winning percentage 68 or 69% this season on 50-50 line and total bets. I think I actually skipped a game on you lads, so sorry about this. This is amateur hour on my behalf. Has been a long day. So let's swing back around to Saturday Arvo, because I actually was just looking at the best bets I wanted to give out, and I do have one for you in Knight Storm. So my bad for missing that one. So that's your early Saturday Arvo game. Knights at home, 3-game winning streak. As I said, it just goes to show you that when teams fight hard, that anybody can beat anyone. It's the best team in the comp. It's the best competition in the league, and we do have the best team in the comp playing in this one. And with Munster back, you know, I was wondering if maybe this would be a great opportunity for the Storm to rest blokes, but they've named their strongest possible side, and, you know, maybe Bellamy does just want to get his best players all on the field together, playing together to gel. And at this point, I look at, you know, the blokes that have been named in the 18 to 21 jerseys, and honestly, like, even if they were to sit out a Cooper or a Smith, who I don't think they would, because I think they respect the fact that he can win the Dally M, bring Munster back in, you know, could you rest a Billy Slater? I think it's just still business as usual for the Storm. I'm really surprised that you can get $1.20 on them to win this. I'm absolutely convinced they will beat the Knights. They're not going to get snuck up on with the Knights on a 3-game winning streak. Now, give the Knights credit. They've got a solid little roster there. Blokes playing their asses off. They're at home. You know they're going to play hard at home. Maybe this one goes under because the Storm, you just love betting unders on the Storm games because nobody scores points against the Storm. I looked back at the Storm's recent opponents. They've only conceded 3 tries, once in the last like 3 months, apart from the games they had Origin guys out. So yeah, they conceded four tries when they played the Roosters when the whole big four didn't play. I think they conceded three or four against the Eels when once again everyone was out. They conceded three down in Canberra against, you know, a solid Canberra side playing for their season, and one was on the siren when the result was already in doubt. They held Brisbane to one try. They held Manly to one try. Actually played the Knights in that run, held them to two. And I can see the Knights at under 16 points on Luxbet, and I think that's a great bet. I don't see how the Knights score 18 points or more in this game. I think when you bet unders on Storm opposition, you're cashing more often than not, because as I've said before, this is one of the strongest teams that I've seen in the modern era, honestly. I'm not even sure how they're under the cap, but that's probably a story for another pod. So yeah, so sorry that I had to swing back there, lads. I'm not usually the one at the control panel for the pod, so just trying to do the best as I can for the lads. And a lot of posts will be coming out tomorrow with all of our favourite plays, so please hang out in the group for that one. Thanks for tuning in. Leggo!